Welcome to the Bariatric Bros Podcast, where we live that bariatric life and eat like men. I'm your host, Mike Alley, and this is a very special podcast because it is the final Bariatric Bros Podcast. Yep, I know. Here's the deal, basically, without, you know, going into a long story. Life is what it is, and coming through this pandemic has been very unique. My full-time job situation has changed to the point where I am back on the radio full-time again, doing a morning show in Baltimore. And between that, my other duties, and our concert production company ramping back up, the time just isn't there, for this wonderful podcast. I love this. I want to thank everyone who has been a part of this community with me as we started this. I got to tell you, I'm super passionate still about our bariatric bros and the bariatric community in general. It is an amazing and loving community of people, and I'm not going away from that. But the amount of time and effort it takes to produce this, even on a semi-regular basis, is just a lot. I'm thankful for doing it. I've learned a lot during this time. But just like everything else, there is a season, and the season for this is over. However, I had one great interview that I didn't get to use, and I have to use it, and it is so good. So we're going to be doing that in just a couple of minutes. But again, I just wanted to take a minute and thank everyone who has supported our podcast from the beginning. The podcast will remain up on podcast platforms. And so you can still share it with people. I hope the information is good and is helpful for those who are kicking off their journey. Some of the great bariatric bros that I interviewed during this time, I've stayed in touch with. They're doing amazing things and continuing their journey. And that is the point of this, is that it is a journey. It's not just a one-day thing. It is a lifetime thing when you make this decision to have bariatric surgery. By the way, I'm still doing great. You know, during this whole pandemic, I really haven't had much fluctuation. I've kind of been within the same 10-pound area. I will tell you, though, that I picked up some weight after I started back working in the mornings again. I think the difference of the schedule, I'm actually up more hours of the day, so I'm eating a little bit more because I'm up longer during the day. So I've been navigating that and trying to figure out how I need to adjust so that I'm not, you know, gaining weight. I didn't gain a ton. I mean, I'm talking a few pounds here and there, but it's the first time I've had weight gain since the surgery. And so I've been navigating that situation. And I do know that I'm coming up on 2 years surgery, end of surgery. And so I know that's normally the time when you kind of hit the rock bottom of weight loss and then you tend to gain some weight back. But I am hoping to maintain where I am, and I'm working towards that. And that's where the scale is your friend. That's where, you know, I don't get obsessed about it. I jump on every week to just kind of check in with it, make sure I'm doing what I need to do. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I appreciate everybody who has spoken into all of this over the podcast time and ever since I've had the surgery. Like I said, I've been a big supporter of the community groups on Instagram and Facebook, and just getting in there, and it's got the info you need. And then give back. Once you've been down the road a little bit, there's always newbies on board who are trying to navigate the same things we navigated. Make sure you give back. Make sure you're in those groups and commenting to people and talking to them about what's happening. It is, it's so important because you're helping so many people. And as we've discovered, different programs give you different levels of education. There are some programs that, man, there's just not a whole lot of education. I had a great program that I still have a stack of all my paperwork and all the education I got pre-surgery, but a lot of people don't get the same. So, you know, go help those people. When they ask a question, you know, as we've learned, it's not a dumb question because they may not have been taught that in their pre-surgical or even post-surgical time with their provider. So help those, help them succeed. Trust me, you'll feel better about it. Okay, so let's get to the interview now. It's a topic that so many guys had asked me about and wanted me to do something on. And so I did this interview. It's about sex. Yep, it is. It's about sex after bariatric surgery for guys. And so I got a chance to speak with Dr. Joe Cribbins. He is a surgeon, the specialist in the art of bariatrics for the Texas Center for Surgery in Plano, Texas. On Instagram, he is One Operation Can Change Your Life. You've probably seen him if you're on the Instagram. He's all over it with great information, and he's got a great group of people. And yeah, we talked about sex, baby.
Dr. Joe, sexuality, how much it's improved. And one of my recent podcasts, one of my recent episodes, I was talking to someone, and he said, you know, we should probably, for guys, put that out there as a selling point that for most cases, things get a lot better. Can you kind of give us the medical reason on what happens with, you know, a guy's sex drive or how, what changes after surgery and why?
Well, sure. I mean, it's honestly, it is like a under-deserved, under-chatted topic is a sort of a, you know, a significant quality of life benefit for weight loss surgery. And, you know, there's kind of like physical aspects to that. And then there's kind of emotional aspects to that. There's kind of hormonal aspects to that. But when people are larger, and it's easier to kind of talk about both guys and ladies sort of at the same time, there's a lot of physical limitations there. And after surgery, you go from a person who can maybe walk one flight of stairs to a dude who can walk, you know, six flight of stairs, who can now touch their toes when before they couldn't even see their toes. So there's a lot of sort of like physical aspects that get improved and sort of like help in the world of sexuality. At the same time, you know, being overweight, there's a lot of sort of emotional things wrapped up in that. Depression is very common. Low self-esteem is very common. Anxiety is very common. And that leads to a lot of like overall lower sex drive. So, you know, even if you wanted to, you kind of don't even want. And then as the surgery, just like it treats diabetes, just like it treats blood pressure and all those other sort of like, you know, big ticket things that everybody talks about, you know, it really treats these emotional issues, you know, the anxiety, the depression, the self-esteem, just as well as it treats all of those. And so now, as you're losing weight, you're like, hey, I'm feeling a little good about myself, and I'm starting to get interested in things that, you know, I haven't been interested in a long time. And at the same time, you may be on a whole bunch of medicines. You have this set of disease issues, maybe on blood pressure medicine and cholesterol medicine, something for your kidneys, something for your depression, something for your anxiety. Like all of those medicines, there's a whole list of them, can really adversely affect sexual health and, you know, cause erectile dysfunction, bring down your sex drive. And so now you're coming off all of these medications. You know, your testosterone's now going up, your total testosterone's going up, you know, your estrogen is going down. Sort of the opposite thing happens in ladies. You know, sex drive is going up, things are working much better down below. And then that all sort of like comes together and you really, you know, you start to enjoy those things that you hadn't enjoyed for a long time. And a lot of times that is, it is surprising to people because it's not. You know, it's not really one of the main things that we talk about, you know, during consultations, and not one of the main things that's out there, you know, sort of in the world of research when patients are kind of like looking around. But yeah, but surgery treats, you know, sex drive and erectile dysfunction and fertility, both in men and in women, really, really well.
And so what you're saying is it is really this combination of not just the, like you said, coming off the meds, the what's happening internally, like the chemical changes that are happening in your body or the reduction of medicine and all those other things that could suppress some of that. But it really is the emotions really playing into this as well.
Yeah, there's just so many factors to it. I mean, just so many good things happen. Not only are you physically feeling better, you know, it's all working better because your hormones have normalized out and your insulin is now normalizing out, and you're coming off a whole bunch of medicines that were inhibiting you before. And, you know, physically, if you want to do a thing, you could do it. You know what I mean?
Well, right, because you've got, you know, let's just be frank, you've got less stuff in the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like you read out, in the, like, blogs and stuff like that, you know, that for every 30 pounds you get 1 inch, 30 pounds lost is 1 inch gained. Hmm. You know, that's a real thing. And, you know, that gets guys excited. You know, they'll be in the office and be like, "Doc, I can see it, and it's looking pretty good." And I'm like, "Good for you."
Well, and it was this guy I was talking to, Kirk Hunt, who is a moderator of a bunch of the groups on Facebook, was saying, he said, you know, guys, you know, on the guys only groups, you know, talk about, oh my gosh, is, you know, am I longer? Am I bigger? You know, and of course, it's probably not that, but it's probably the reduction of everything else.
You know, the fatty tissue that's sort of like in front of your pelvis there, is that gets larger and larger and larger. And, you know, honestly, if at a certain point you actually can't see it at all in men who are very large. And so and when you lose the weight, you lose it everywhere you have it. And if you're losing it there, that's where that length increase comes from. Because there's less of that sort of pelvic tissue there.
And I'm going to guess, Doctor, you can tell me from the medical part, Dr. Joe, is your blood flow just increased more because of it? Or is it just everything's moving better because you just lost the weight?
Well, blood flow is better too. The nerves and the veins and the arteries that, you know, do all the things that make a guy erect. You know, hypertension's not good for it. Diabetes is not good for it. Kidney disease is not good for it. A lot of the medications you might be on is not good for it. Your low testosterone is not good for it. Your high estradiol is not good for it. You know, after surgery, all those things move in the right direction, and so things start working. I see a lot of guys who, you know, on some sort of ED tablet and some sort of, you know, testosterone replacement, but it's still not like working for them. And I'm like, hey, 60 pounds, get your testosterone checked, because it's going to be a lot higher. And, you know, you're probably not going to need that and need these other pills either. And it's true.
Doc, let me ask one more thing here with this, because I think this probably, you hear about it more, you see it more on the socials with women, less than guys. I just don't know if we just don't post it the same way. But does loose skin factor in this? If you've lost like a lot of weight with this, does that become a factor for guys the same as it does for women?
You know, it's funny. Before the surgery, it's like the number one question. Like, how am I going to look when I lose all of this weight? Mm. You know, can I get plastic surgery? Will I need plastic surgery? That sort of thing. I can tell you, like, in the pretty vast majority of patients, they're a year out from surgery. They've lost a whole bunch of weight. I mean, things may be a little loose here and there, but they're sort of like overall impression of how they look and how they feel is significantly better. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do have those, you know, you can go out on the internet, some plastic surgery sites, and, you know, be like, oh goodness, look at all of this skin and blah, and, you know, the surgeon does some sort of huge surgery and, oh, now how good they look. But that's not like the average patient. I mean, if you're like an average size patient coming in for weight loss surgery, you're going to look good and feel good, you know, when it's all done. The people who sort of really have problems kind of already have those problems before the surgery. And plastic surgery is out there. Like, there's a bunch of practices that I work with who take excellent care of people. If people are like, hey, this is a thing I really want or a thing I really need, that's an easy thing to get them in contact with.
You know, in my case, I've dropped already like 140 pounds. So, yes, yeah. I've got the loose skin and all that. And you know, I mean, I look in the mirror and see it, but also let's, you know, I'm 53. I'm not exactly, you know, out there going to go walk the runway. So,
yeah.
It doesn't, you know, overall, it doesn't bother me as much, but it does seem to be something that I see more and more posts about. And, you know, some people, like you said, I think it's probably more a head game than it is anything else.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I think, you know, the other thing for guys, the only thing that I could see is I've had a couple of guys I've seen who really like go hardcore into the gym stuff after.
Yeah.
And for them, they're like, yeah, I've got to do something about this because it's causing me problems when I'm working out, or it's doing other things, even with compression clothing and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I can see where, you know, like you said, if you want it, you know, go for it. But unlike surgery and all of that, most of that is out of your own pocket.
True and not true. You know, it really depends.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just like there's certain criteria for weight loss surgery. You need to be a certain weight or a certain BMI or have certain health conditions and jump through certain hoops with your doctor or dietitian or psychologist to get to a point that they go, okay, we'll approve for the surgery. There's these similar sort of hoops for the plastic skin surgery that a lot of times it can be covered. It really, and I'm not an expert in their hoops, but if it's, you know, if so much weight is getting taken off the breast, then it's okay. It's covered by surgery. If the penis hangs so low below the pubic bone and causes this, that, and that problem, okay, it's, you know, it's covered by surgery. And just like weight loss surgery, insurance companies, you know, they're all over the map with what they require for it. But a lot of my patients have their weight loss or have their skin surgery through their insurance.
Hmm. Okay, so that's something that you would say, if it's you're interested, you need to check with your insurance company to kind of see what they cover, or visit a plastic surgeon first, kind of get a consult?
Yeah, like call your insurance company, just kind of poke in, get a little bit of a heads up, and then, you know, see a plastic surgeon and see what they say. Because sometimes, you know, insurance is strange. The thing that the insurance company will say to the patient is often different than the thing, which is the real thing, that they will say to the physician's office. So sometimes they say the same thing, sometimes they're different. So, but yeah, I would say if someone's interested, check into their insurance, see how much they can find out about it, and make an appointment with a plastic surgeon and go in for an evaluation and see what they can do.
Dr. Joe, hey, I want to thank you for your time. I also just want to say you probably, and I'm sure that there are other doctors and other practices out there that are like, you know, on Instagram and doing stuff there. But you and your team just are putting out so much great information. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because just love all the info that you guys put out. We're going to have all of your links down in our show notes, not only to your practice, but of course to your socials, which is One Operation. What is it? One Operation Changes Everything. And
Life. One Operation Changes Life.
One Operation Changes Life. That's it. And so, I mean, you search for that, but it's great. And just your commitment to, you know, this community, the bariatric community, and especially the excellence in the bariatric community. Just want to thank you for that, because it's been great during my whole journey to see all the posts and, like I said, learn stuff that you just, you know, didn't even realize along the way.
Well, fantastic. I really super appreciate you.
Well, a big thank you to Dr. Joe Cribbins. Remember, he's on Instagram at One Operation Can Change Your Life. We'll put that in the show notes along with his contact information. Well, that's it, gang. Yep, that is it for the Bariatric Bros podcast. Again, thank you to everyone who supported us during this last year. It's been amazing, and I hope that you'll stay in touch. Our socials and all of that will stay up, and we'll be staying there. And, you know, I'll post from time to time about things that are going on in my life, and I want to hear about yours. So appreciate you all so much. This has been such a fun ride, and I look forward to continuing to live that bariatric life and eating like men.